farther away from them now than when we started.
Ryan nodded. We'll catch them.
If it's the last thing we do.
The job of clearing Sekhmen from the courtyard and securing it had been completed. JB had two shells of questionable quality left for the 37mm cannon, and each 50 caliber had less than a dozen rounds. They still had plenty of ammo for their blasters, but it looked as if the firefights were over for now. JB had pulled the WAG back to the main gate so they could cover any of the approaches and make sure anyone trying to get out wouldn't be cut down by any Sekhmen still in the complex. They had been waiting at the gate for almost half an hour, but there was no sign of Ryan and Mildred, or Jack and Clarissa.
It might not be my place to suggest such a thing, but considering that none of our friendly forces have made their presence known to us, perhaps we should make a search of the grounds.
We could do it in a WAG.
I've thought of that, but I just know that as soon as I move from here, they'll show up.
As if on cue, Jack, Clarissa, and two other women stepped through the front doors of the main building.
Ah, right on time.
As the group approached, JB kept his eyes fixed on the building.
Where's Mildred and Ryan?
Went after Christy. Not back yet?
JB shook his head.
All right, hop in the back. We'll search the grounds for them.
Jack helped Clarissa and Melanie onto the WAG. Deborah took her leave of the group and returned to her cabin in the Ville. Just then, a weak voice could be heard, saying a familiar name.
Ryan! Ryan Carter!
JB turned to look at Clarissa.
Do you know this man?
He looks like Boris, one of the Sekhmen, but he looks like he's been through hell.
Dean was the first off the WAG, his blaster drawn and pointed precisely at the center of the man's forehead.
Where is he? Where's my father?
Ryan! Ryan Carter!
Dean looked as if he was getting angry, thrusting the blaster hard against the man's face. JB got out of the WAG and ran around to where the man was standing.
How do you know the name Ryan Carter?
He shot me with his blaster and told me to give you a message.
What message?
The man fell to one knee.
Said you'd let me live if I told you.
JB looked at the others on the WAG, then nodded.
All right, what's the message?
I was one of the Sekhmen loyal to Norman Bauer when he decided to revolt against the Baron. We were starting our revolt when you attacked the farm. Our Sek chief had the red-haired woman hostage, but he was chilled, and Bauer took her instead. Ryan Carter and Mildred went after the remaining Sekhmen.
Where are they headed?
Probably to the nearest Ville to lie low until the mess is all over with here. That'd be Fort Erie, on the north shore of the lake. There are boats there that anyone can use to cross the lake.
How long have they been gone?
An hour, maybe more.
Clarissa turned to JB.
We can meet them there.
The armorer stood up.
What do you mean?
We drove through Fort Erie on our way here. We can get there in the WAG and beat Ryan and the rebels to the shore. We can be waiting for them when they arrive.
JB considered it.
Do you think this jumble of bolts and metal is fit to make the journey?
JB looked at the WAG. It had taken some hits, was leaking radiator fluid. The engine was running rough, too, but they had enough fuel and everything else seemed to still be in working order.
Yeah, I think we can make it.
Come on!
Dean, Jack, and Doc climbed up onto the back of the crowded WAG.
Hang on, everyone. It's gonna be a bumpy ride.
He put the WAG in gear, and they were off, leaving Boris behind to walk back to the farm, thankful that the Outlanders kept their word about not killing him. When Deborah finally returned to her cabin, Eric was waiting for her. She had bred with the man several times, and deep down he was always her favorite. Not that she would have ever mentioned anything about that before. The last thing she wanted to do was get in trouble with the Baron for actually falling in love. She had heard about what happened to the woman who fell in love with John Wyndham, and vowed that she wouldn't go there. But that was before the Outlanders came and turned Fox Farm upside down. She didn't feel quite so afraid anymore.
Is it true? The Baron's really dead? The slaves are rising up and taking over?
It's true, baby. I was there. I killed that bastard myself. We're no longer slaves, Eric.
And that means that it truly will be pleasurable when we...
We don't call it that anymore. Now we call it making love.
Ryan and Mildred had made up their lost ground, They were directly behind the group now and could begin picking off members of the party the next time they stopped for rest. And that would be coming soon, since the air had become filled with the smell and feel of a large body of water close by. They had to be within a mile of Lake Erie, and if Ryan and Mildred were going to make a try for Christie, they'd have to do it soon. They could see several boats washed up on the shore, obviously to be used to cross the lake to get from ville to ville. If the rebels made it to those boats, who knew when Ryan might see Christie again?
Maybe we should head straight for the shore and wait for them there. I can take them out one at a time as they come out of the woods.
That wouldn't stop them from hurting Christie. We'll wait for them in those boats. If they don't turn over Christie, we'll fill them with holes.
The boats or the rebels?
Both.
Now that's a plan.
Just then, a twig snapped somewhere to their left. It sounded like a patrol, or perhaps a straggler had doubled back again to give the rest of them a better chance to reach their boats. Ryan moved cautiously in the direction the sound had come from. Mildred took his right flank, the ZKR out in front of her. There was a second movement. The leaves on the branches of a sickly-looking tree just ahead trembled as if something had passed beneath them. And then another branch flicked unnaturally, this time closer to the two of them. They dropped to their knees and readied for a firefight.
Dad?
The voice was familiar.
Millie?
Ryan looked at Mildred.
It sounds like Dean.
A trick?
I doubt it.
Ryan didn't think so either.
Dean!
Over here, Dad!
They made their way over to where they thought the voice was coming from, but still kept their weapons ready. And then they came to a slight clearing, and Dean was indeed there, looking well. Doc was also there, and Jack was just returning from a wreck in the other direction.
How did you get here?
Wag! Only way to travel.
My dear Ryan and dearest Mildred, how good to see you.
I hate to admit it, but I'm glad to see you too, you old bag of wind.
Is Christie with you?
No, still waiting for rebels.
Then let's get moving.
Norman Bower ushered his rebels past, counting heads as they went. There were 18 now, significantly less than the number that left Fox Farm when his revolt began, but those 18 had proven their loyalty to him. And by the time the dust settled and they returned to the farm, 18 Sekmen should be more than enough to overtake whatever amount of the Baron's troops were left. Now it was just a simple matter of getting into the boats and paddling across the lake to the southern shore. Once they were there, they could spend a few weeks recovering from their ordeal and letting his men rut with the females of Fort Erie, and also with the redhead, especially. Bower would never have taken a breeder for himself, but it was testimony to the amount of respect his rebels had for him that several of them went out of their way to help him acquire this gift. She was beautiful. Gorgeous was probably a more apt description, and she was strong-willed, feisty, and in excellent physical shape. Granted, she wasn't enthusiastic about living in Fox Farm, but she'd come around. Just then, blaster fire cut a line in the sandy shore in front of the rebels. Fountains of dirt rose up from the ground, sending them all running and jumping for cover. The burst lasted just a few seconds. It was followed by silence, and then the sound of a familiar voice.
You have something I want!
It was the dreaded Outlander. Ryan let the words linger in the air for a few moments, then repeated them.
You have something I want!
What would that be?
The woman with the long red hair. She's one of us, and you're not going anywhere until you hand her over.
Despite his previous thoughts, Bower now wondered if keeping the woman was really worth it. He'd come so far, even possibly becoming the new Baron of Fox Farm. Did he want to lose everything he'd worked for so long, just to have one top breeder? Ryan was losing his patience.
If you don't do what I say, we have a cannon pointed directly at your boat. If I don't hear the words, "We surrender," from you in the next 3 seconds, this weapon will make sure none of you will be going home.
An offer they can't refuse.
One! Two!
Ryan never had to say three. All of a sudden, Christie appeared out of the bushes. She ran toward her friends and fell into Ryan's arms, where she held on to him for a very long time. A few days later, the companions were ready to leave Fox Farm. They offered to take Clarissa and Melanie to a bill on the East Coast, but the girls wanted to go back to the farm, where they thought they might have a chance to make something of their lives, especially now that Baron Fox was gone.
I've got my sister back now, thanks to...